Welcome back, HBA community, to Conversations and Connections, where we strive towards creating women leaders for life. Thank you to Ogilvy Health for sponsoring this season, and to our awesome podcast team, Megan Lepage, our producer, and Danielle Bolap, HBA Canada's Marketing and Communications President. As I embark on this opportunity to learn and grow by getting my feet wet in podcasting, I also want to thank the HBA for your confidence, and of course, our listeners for making the time to join us. This season, we have a lineup of conversations with exceptional women doing incredible work. Today, we're kicking off the new season by connecting with HBA Canada's regional chair, Dr. Anulu Bankoni. There's so much to talk about, I'm not sure where to begin, so let's get going. Anu completed her Doctor of Pharmacy and is an entrepreneur, board-certified geriatric pharmacist, certified diabetes educator, and an advocate for advancing women in healthcare leadership. As the founder of a global medical writing business, she leverages her expertise to simplify complex medical concepts, empowering healthcare professionals and patients with accessible knowledge. Anu is dedicated to improving the health and well-being of older adults through expert clinical care. She has served on regulatory and university admissions committees, enhancing patient safety and nurturing future pharmacy leaders. Her dedication to patient care, education, and creating a more equitable healthcare ecosystem continues to drive meaningful change across the healthcare sector. In her role as HBA Canada Chair, Anu champions diversity and inclusion through mentorship, advocacy, and networking initiatives. Recently, she has been featured in a powerful book called You Are Enough by Dr. Olasumba Adelakun, celebrating remarkable Black women who have thrived while staying true to themselves. Such an important topic for discussion for all women, and with Black History Month upon us, the perfect timing to recognize and acknowledge. So let's get going. A warm welcome to Anu.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, could you share a bit more about your background and what you're focused on right now?
Absolutely. You've done a great job introducing me. I had to take a step back and wonder who that was. as you said, I am a board certified geriatric pharmacist and a certified diabetes educator. So a big part of my work involves caring for geriatric patients, ensuring their treatment regimens are safe and effective. I also have a regulatory role where I audit the practices of pharmacy professionals to maintain high standards in the field. On top of that, as you mentioned, I'm a freelance medical writer and I collaborate with Medcoms agencies, medical education agencies, and pharmaceutical companies. And of course, I'm deeply involved with the HBA as the chair of the Canada region, where I oversee our operations across the country and work to advance our mission of empowering women in healthcare. Right now, though, my biggest focus is on rest. Learning how to truly incorporate rest into my work-life balance and make it a priority in my journey.
Oh, I think that's every woman's goal these days, but that's a great answer. Look, you know, I really appreciate that you made the time to come here, not only because it's time is a precious resource, but also because you are a very shy, introverted personality. But for somebody who has that personality type, your glasses speak so much about your personality. And I love the cool frames. And I wish our listeners could see them. But so what initially drew you to your career path that you're on today?
Career path has definitely had its twists and turns, like most people. It's been a journey of highs and lows. Early on, I didn't have a professional network to lean on, which made things challenging, to say the least. I worked in an environment where I had to juggle the expectations of a corporate entity with providing the best care for my patients. Often, I was a sole decision maker, which meant I had to quickly learn how to lead, because I was in charge of the pharmacy, and also how to advocate for both myself and my patients. That experience sparked a period of exploration for me. I wasn't sure how to connect with people at first, so I took as many job interviews as I could. Not necessarily to land the job, and that would have been nice, but to learn about the opportunities out there. And to be honest, I didn't find a role that really resonated with me. And truthfully, a lot of the requirements seemed overwhelming. But it was nice to chat with people in other aspects of healthcare. So I decided to take the time to develop new skills and to carve out my own career path.
Well, as somebody who's worked with pharmacists for a couple of decades, I can say that it is a noble profession for sure, and we need more of them. So thanks for embarking on that, and thanks for sharing. If you think about your career to date, and if you're reflecting on that, what would you say is the proudest milestone you've reached?
Establishing my medical writing business would be one, and seeing it become successful. That has been such a significant milestone for me. When I first started exploring this field, a lot of people advised me to work for a company first to build a network, get experience before going freelance. But I believe in God, and through certain experiences that I had, that could be a whole other podcast episode. I could write a few books on those. I knew he was guiding me towards starting my own business, to have my own. It's been an incredible journey. Not easy, but I am so grateful that I took that step. Another milestone I'm really proud of is becoming the Canadian chair for HBA. It's really been an honor to take on that leadership role and work toward empowering women in healthcare across the country.
Being an entrepreneur is hard enough, let alone the many other things that you have going on. So some great insight that you got from your mentors early on to, you know, begin with the company and gather insight and network. That was very smart. So you have been described by HBA Canada's founder, Danielle Portnick, as someone who brings people together and empowers others. And I could certainly see that about you in our time together. What does achievement mean to you? And how do you use your success to inspire and uplift those around you?
Well, I have to say thank you to Danielle first. Well, I worked with her for quite a long time while she was the chair. For me, achievement isn't just about personal success. It's about the collective progress of the community that I'm fortunate to serve. I see it as an opportunity to uplift others, and I try to use my platform to amplify the voices of women, to mentor those who are coming up in their careers, and to create opportunities for collaboration. It's incredibly rewarding to see how empowering others creates a ripple effect that benefits everyone involved.
That's a great answer. As someone who lives their life by showing up every day as my authentic self, as you can probably tell by now, I really wanted to dive into your recent feature in the URNF book penned by Dr. Olasunbu Adelakan. Your work really embodies the principles of authenticity and staying true to oneself. You spoke a bit about role modeling. How do you see role models, including yourself, in inspiring others to own their uniqueness and embrace their authentic selves?
It's a really good question. Not an easy one to answer. But first, I do want to thank Dr. Adelakun for writing such an important book, and for including my story along with so many incredible women. I looked through the book, and the women in there, you know, my jaw was dropped the entire time. The book You Are Enough sheds light on the narrow beauty standards often imposed on Black women, and emphasizing that it is possible to succeed while staying true to yourself. It is not easy, but it's definitely not impossible. And it becomes easier the more you believe in yourself and you see others like you succeeding. You know, sometimes we're so focused on pushing forward that we forget to pause and recognize the impact we're having on those around us, whether directly or indirectly. So for me, this book was a powerful reminder to stop and smell the roses. Role models, they play such a vital role in showing others that staying authentic is a path to success. By being open about my journey as a leader, as a Black woman and a healthcare professional, I really hope to inspire others to embrace their individuality and see it as a source of strength.
Your story also highlights the power of embracing authenticity and individuality as a source of strength. Can you share how staying true to yourself, whether as a Black woman, a pharmacist, or a leader, has shaped your journey and achievements?
Yes, staying true to myself has allowed me to lead with confidence and empathy, because empathy is really important. As a Black woman and a leader in healthcare, I have learned that embracing my identity inspires trust, it builds stronger relationships, and it motivates others to do the same.
You know, as I reflect and I'm thinking on what you're saying, your words really make me think about Cheryl Lee Ralph's powerful speech at the 2023 Critics' Choice Awards. Did you see it? Do you know? Are you familiar with this?
I have not seen that, no.
Oh, you've got to watch this clip. She's incredible. She says, she's so moving. She says in such a powerful way, and I quote, "People don't have to like you. People don't have to love you. They don't even have to respect you. But when you look in the mirror, you better love what you see. You better love what you see." And when I, you know, in our conversations and after what you just said, that really resonated with me. What do you think about that?
I honestly couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And that also goes back to the book and the importance of Dr. Adele Lepin writing that book is you have to love what you see. A lot of times, especially with Black women, and the book focused a little bit on skin bleaching, even going through that process, that takes away the outer layer. But what you see when you look in the mirror is still what's inside. So if you don't work on what's inside of you, changing your exterior will only help you so far. You'll only feel better for so long before the internal starts to come out again.
I will say the book is so interesting, and as someone who identifies as a Caucasian female, there were many things that were eye-opening to me, including skin bleaching was something I was unfamiliar with. So for those out there who want to learn more generally, but also specifically about, you know, the trials and tribulations and challenges of, you know, being a Black woman in society today, I strongly encourage picking it up and having a read. So often, Anu, the stories of exceptional Black women have been overlooked. And what message would you share with others, particularly women of color, about redefining success and proving that skin tone or societal expectations are not barriers to greatness?
Oh, that's a good one. I would say that success isn't about conforming to societal expectations. It's really about creating your own path. I really encourage women to own their stories, embrace their unique perspectives, and remember that barriers are meant to be broken. You can send me a message on LinkedIn. I'll tell you more about my story. They are meant to be broken and they can be broken. Okay. Your journey and experiences are your power. And the more you lean into them, the more you'll find your strength and inspire others to do the same. I am a living testimony of that. So it is possible. Sure. And I'm still on my journey. I'm not even where I want to be yet. So it's definitely doable.
I can't wait to see where you go with this career, really. But own your story. I love that. I'm going to embrace that as well. That's awesome. What message would you share with women, particularly those who feel that their stories or their achievements have been overlooked, about finding strength in their authenticity and defining their own success?
I would say authenticity is your superpower. When you stay true to your values and your vision, you not only discover your own voice, but also inspire others to find theirs. Sometimes you don't even know that you're doing that. And again, I'm a testimony to that.
As someone who doesn't like the limelight or the spotlight, for sure, I would say that that's true.
Yes. Success doesn't have to look the same for everyone. You get to define it on your own terms. And also, don't forget to celebrate every step forward. Remember, smell the roses. I learned that recently, too. No matter how small, it all adds up to something amazing.
My takeaway from that one is authenticity is your superpower.
It sure is.
As a mom of, as a girl mom of tweens, I will say that that is something I'm going to share with them.
I'm going to get a cape made with that too. So you may want to do that for them too.
I want to see the cape. That's great. That's a great idea. I love that. So when you think about, you know, your career and people who have affected you, or it sounds like you've had great mentors who've been able to inspire you. Has there been someone in particular that has altered, the way you think along your path?
My family. My family has been a true pillar in my life. You know, showered me with so much love that it's naturally influenced how I approach my career. They've taught me the importance of peace of mind. I tell you, peace of mind is key. And finding joy in what I do. I truly, truly enjoy my work. Everything I do. I know I wear many hats, but I love them all. I love all my hats. And I don't dread Mondays. I've never felt that Monday dread. And that's because I consistently strive to align my career with my passion and my values. If I don't like it, then it's not for me. And it's time to figure out another path.
Wow, that's great. So important. I'm a family woman as well. But as we are recording today on this Monday morning, thank you for bringing joy. You were what I looked forward to today to kick off my week. So thank you for that. I'm also somebody who is very well known for being a joy giver. And so thank you for giving me yours today. What's the one thing that you wish you had known when you first started your career? If you could go back and look at your 18, 19 year old self, what would you like to have known?
First, I'd definitely say that I was not fat then. I would tell myself that every day. I appreciate your weight at that point. There's nothing wrong with you. But there is the one thing that I wish I had known in terms of my career is I wish I had understood the importance of building a strong network early on. The power of connecting with others and leveraging those relationships to create meaningful opportunities, not just for yourself, but also for others. It's something that I've really come to appreciate more over time.
Absolutely. Networking is one of my superpowers. So I couldn't agree with you more. Such great advice, because such great great commentary. Okay, so let's shift from Anu and all about Anu to let's talk about a bit more about HBA. As a leader in the healthcare industry, what motivated you to join HBA, and how have you seen the organization champion gender parity and professional development?
I joined the HBA 2017 because it's a global community. And it really aligns with my passion for advancing women in healthcare. I wanted a network because I started off my career, working by myself. And if I wanted to ask someone something, I'd, go to the mirror. But this was an opportunity for me to, to build a network with people whose values align with mine. The organization's initiatives, like leadership training, the conferences, and also the volunteer opportunities have been instrumental in promoting gender parity and empowering professionals in healthcare. In addition, HBA Canada also runs an amazing equity, diversity, and inclusion collaborative with the City of Mississauga, where companies that are EDI champions come together to share insights and actionable strategies. It's a great example of how HBA is fostering real change.
As a member of HBA, you have access, as you've mentioned, to a wide range of global virtual and in-person events. I've attended several and have found them to be really inspiring and time well invested. Can you share how this accessibility has helped you connect with your peers and learn new skills or advance career in healthcare?
Those are the events, the virtual and in-person, they've been absolutely invaluable and helping me connect with people across the globe. It's amazing. I always say you can choose today to go to Paris for an event because it's virtual. And tomorrow, you may want some, Texan barbecue and attend an event in Texas. you have a wide array of events to attend with different, not only different locations, but each event focuses on different parts of the network of a person, of building your network, of building your skills. There's so much to choose from. These events have given me the chance to exchange ideas, to gain insights from industry leaders, and they've also really helped me strengthen my leadership skills.
Okay, I'm going to ask you an ad hoc question that we haven't discussed. So I know I said I wouldn't surprise you, but if you could describe, just for listeners who may be new to HBA and HBA Canada, could you describe who are the women and men who make up the HBA community?
Absolutely. And I love that you said women and men, because a lot of times when people think of the HBA, because it's Healthcare Business Women's Association, mm-hmm. people think that men are not included, but men are our allies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as much as we, as far as we want to go, we need everyone's support. Mm-hmm. So we need to carry everyone along because we're working towards gender parity. Mm-hmm. And so the people who are involved with the HBA are people who align with these goals. Mm-hmm. Men, women, everyone, yeah. every gender.
And I would assume that this is also a great opportunity because you have people who are seasoned and experienced in their career, as well as people who are, you know, new to their career and learning and looking to connect and network, right?
Yes, we have people who are new to their career. We have some students. We have people who are seasoned in their field. We have people from different aspects of healthcare. So it's healthcare, it's health, women in healthcare business. And so you don't have to be, for example, with me, I work in direct patient care for a big part of my career. So we have clinical healthcare professionals. We also have people in marketing, advertising, HR. If you touch healthcare in some capacity, you are welcome in the HBA.
Great. Awesome. I know one of the key things about HBA, in addition to mentoring and connecting and educating, is volunteering. And so wondering if you could speak a bit about the volunteering with HBA and what it offers in terms of the chance to contribute to the mission while building leadership skills, as well as can you tell us about your experience as a volunteer and how the support from the HBA staff has enabled you to contribute effectively?
Volunteering with the HBA has been such a great opportunity for me to grow as a leader while making a real impact. The guidance and resources provided by the central office have been key in executing initiatives and engaging members effectively. One thing we're often asked is what makes volunteering with HBA different from other organizations? Mm-hmm. For me, it's the structure and strong support from the HBA staff. This unique setup allows you to contribute while receiving the kind of backing that helps you thrive. For me, my HBA journey started with ad hoc volunteering while I was working in direct patient care as a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to grow my skills. I wanted to learn about other areas within healthcare. I wanted to get more comfortable with public speaking. I wanted to stop applying for all the jobs that I didn't really want just to talk to people.
Which I think is so funny that we're doing this podcast, right? This is definitely public speaking, right? Good for you.
Thank you. So I eventually went from an ad hoc volunteer to one of the leads on the Toronto team. And I continued progressing from there. And now, you know, I'm the chair for Canada, which, considering where I came from with the ad hoc volunteering and my role, one of the events, my role was to, the volunteer lead was leading a presentation. And so my role was to click the next slide on the computer, so to advance the slides. So I have come a long way.
You sure have. And as somebody who, again, somebody who is more introverted, to hang out on a Monday morning with this extrovert, you're doing a great job. And I mean that with the best of intention. It's hard to step out of our comfort zones, and we're doing it.
I appreciate it. But I will say one more thing is that volunteering with HBA has been a big factor in landing one of my current roles, because it requires a lot of public speaking, requires a lot of strategy, a lot of critical thinking and leadership skills. So I will say I had these before, but it helped to nurture it. And I'm now more confident in those skills that I have. And really, this is just scratching the surface with how it's shaped my career.
Like I said, I can't wait to see where it goes. And so when you say help to nurture, I'm interpreting that to mean that it really did give you opportunities, and by working on projects and to be able to step out of your comfort zone, to sort of push yourself past that that feeling of discomfort.
Yes, it's a safe space. Everyone really wants you to win. What I hear, because I talk to a lot of HBA members, and a common theme is everyone is so nice, or everyone is so kind, and everybody really wants to help you succeed. And when you're getting comfortable in skills that you already have or learning new skills, that's a really important piece that you don't get when you're in your day-to-day job where you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Sometimes they're not going to let you fail because, you know, that costs money.
Mm-hmm.
But you can,
so true.
What you want to learn, you can come here, practice. You'll get support. You'll get advice. Nobody gets babied. You are in charge of your own development, but you get the support that you need to grow. And then you can take that and take it to your workplace where you get paid and ask for more money. Everybody wins.
Okay. Oh my. Okay. So we're rounding out now on our questions. It's our question series. And look, I know that having attended a few events and been part of and follow HBA regularly, and I'm an active member, of course, I personally think that 2024 was a hugely successful year for HBA, and there was impressive work, you know, achieved and many accomplishments across the nation and across the globe. What are a few of the highlights, Canadian highlights, that you might want to speak about?
We had so many. It was an amazing year, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful 2025, but I'll give you a few. Our mentorship program successfully matched mentors and mentees across Canada, which fostered valuable career connections. We also partnered with one of the chapters in the U.S. for our Circle of Advisors program, which strengthened ties across borders. Our EDI collaborative that I mentioned earlier reached new heights with the completion of our second Solutions Summit, where EDI champions shared insights and strategies. We also hosted a session with the City of Mississauga on data and measurement at EDI, which explored trends shaping 2025. So more to come with that. A historic moment for us was Toronto hosting the 25th HBA Annual Conference, which was our first outside the U.S. And the theme was accelerating transformational leadership, which inspired bold change and innovation for all attendees. Additionally, we started a one-to-one networking program, which expanded global connections, while locally, we had record-breaking events in Toronto and Montreal. We also started having events in person in Ottawa and Vancouver. Last but definitely not least, Montreal also made history as the first branch in HBA history to transition from a branch status to a chapter status. So it went from a baby. It graduated from pre-K and just shot right up to almost end of high school, we'll say. Going off to college. So it's now its own fully formed chapter, which is amazing and was the first for HBA to achieve that. So looking ahead to 2025, there's a lot to be excited about as we continue building on these successes and driving impactful change.
And so if people wanted to learn more, obviously they could visit the HBA website, which is mentioned here in the podcast notes, and all, of course, the socials, because I know you're quite active in the socials on LinkedIn and others. What would you say to another ad hoc question for you? I told you no surprises, but I'm engaged in your conversation, so I got to ask. So what would you say to the people who are thinking about, maybe I want to explore? What would be the easiest way for people to dip their toe in the water and learn a little bit more?
If you want to explore, I will say do it. That is that is the best thing that you could do. You never know what you'll find. You never know who you'll meet. The website and LinkedIn, I believe, will be in the notes. Take a look. Connect with one of us on LinkedIn. If you send a message to the LinkedIn page, one of us usually responds pretty quickly. You can connect with me with, we have other volunteer leaders as well. I don't want to volunteer them, but I know that they're always happy. They're always happy to hear from people and talk about their experience with the HBA. It's an amazing organization, and I'm not just saying it because I've been with it for a very long time, but it really is. If it wasn't amazing.
You're biased.
If it wasn't, I would, again, my peace of mind, I would have walked away a long time ago. It is a wonderful group to be a part of. You meet wonderful, wonderful people. The people that I've met, I can't tell you how amazing that they are. You have to talk to them yourself to believe it. So yes, if you're thinking of it, stop thinking, just do it.
Love it. Just like Nike, just do it.
Exactly.
And I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. I'm kidding around with you, but I definitely agree with what you're saying. My experience has been really positive to date, and I've been involved in HBA. I've been a member for a handful of years, but in the past couple of years, I've been more involved and have made connections and that have really been helpful for me personally and professionally. So I thank HBA for that. Is there anything before we sign off that you wanted to share? Or
I think this has been an amazing discussion. I want to thank you, Nicole, for being a wonderful host. I enjoyed myself.
And that's a success. Great. That's wonderful. I thank HBA for allowing me the opportunity to pursue one of my passions and to step out of my comfort zone and to embark on as the host of this series. And I can't wait to see it go forward. And I will say, as you share with me before, you are somebody who is more reserved, but I think your energy is just beautiful, and you have so much to learn from you. And I think you are the perfect blend of intersectionality. And I think you're such a role model for so many. You're driven by purpose, and you're helping patients ultimately. In addition to the HBA stuff, I just am so inspired by what you do as a healthcare professional. And so continue on. And HBA community is lucky to have you. Thank you for being with us today. I wish you nothing but success. I can't see where you go next, or what's next for you. And to our listeners, we have an exciting season planned for you, and we can't wait to bring you incredible women who are doing incredible work. Thank you so much for making the time to tune in today in your busy lives. And we'll catch you next time on Conversations Connections. Have a great week.